Folks, the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. And I want to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, that we actually started last week. And this is about healthy you. And even if you live a healthy lifestyle, you've probably just made at least one of these common mistakes. So now we're going to move over to number 6 in this list. You drive in heavy traffic. Now this also applies to the rider in heavy traffic. Traffic jams are a perfect storm for heart disease risk, so much so that simply sitting in traffic can increase the chance of a heart attack in people already at risk, one study showed. Traffic hurts the heart in 3 ways. First, a traffic jam raises your stress level, your body's inflammation levels, and your blood pressure, says Carrozza. Second, more time behind the wheel means more time being sedentary. One study found that individuals with a 30-mile round-trip commute were more likely to be obese and have a larger waist. Both issues are linked to heart disease. According to another study, men who report spending 10 or more hours a week in a car had an 82% higher risk of dying from CVD, cardiovascular disease. But wait, there's more. Traffic is also a significant source of air pollution, which has been known to increase blood pressure, lower oxygen levels in your blood, and provoke inflammation. Studies indicate that even low concentrations of fine particulate matter in the air can increase the risk of cardiac arrest, and long-term exposure can age blood vessels permanently or prematurely, and lead to a faster calcium buildup in the coronary arteries. In fact, some experts have speculated that one contributing factor to the temporary decrease in heart attacks in the early stages of the pandemic was that air pollution dropped dramatically thanks to decreased air and road travel. So, if traffic is a risk to your health, you need a plan. Maybe it's finding an alternate route or adjusting your work hours so you're commuting when the roads are less crowded. When you're driving in traffic, roll up your windows and recirculate your AC to protect against both air and noise pollution. Plus, Levy recommends that you check online for information about your local air quality. Try airnow.gov and use the same precautions at home on polluted days. Number 7, you remain angry about that raw deal you got. A study of 12,986 middle-aged people showed that those with high levels of chronic anger were twice as likely to develop CVD and almost 3 times more likely to suffer a heart attack as their less resentful peers. Chronic anger is probably the most toxic of distressing emotions as related to heart disease, says Stephen Soltanoff, an adjunct professor of psychology at Pepperdine University. He explains that when you carry resentment toward someone, you can get stuck in a chronic anger loop in which the stress builds up and too often leads to a heart attack. Save yourself the aggravation. Try letting go of your resentment by forgiving the offender. One study connected forgiveness with reduced blood pressure and cardiovascular stress recovery. Talking to a therapist or turning to one of several effective stress reducers, such as yoga, tai chi, or meditation. There's a period after meditation. Number 8, you don't bother connecting with your social network. Loneliness and social isolation may increase your risk of developing CVD by 29% and give you a 32% greater chance of having a stroke. There's a continuum between social isolation, loneliness, depression, and worse cardiovascular outcome. To ensure that you have connection every day, schedule regular calls, meetups, or video chats. You could also join a book club or group that meets regularly, virtually or in person, or go for a walk and greet neighbors along the way. Number 9, you snack on chips instead of fruit. As a general rule, whenever you see a piece of fruit, put it into your mouth. Here's why. Across the board, our sodium intake is way too high. The average person takes in probably 50% more sodium than needed, which raises blood pressure, increases the risk of stroke, and leads to fluid retention, especially in susceptible people who have cardiovascular issues. Salty snacks such as chips are one obvious culprit, but a significant majority of processed and prepackaged foods are loaded with sodium. 6 thin slices of sandwich meat can contain half of your daily recommended sodium intake, and a single slice of pizza has about 640 milligrams of sodium. Even a slice of bread can be loaded with the stuff. One way to attack the problem is to make fruit an ongoing part of your snacking routine. Not only is it low in sodium, many fruits, particularly bananas, citrus, apricots, and melons, as well as raisins and prunes, are high in potassium, which naturally aids in balancing out high sodium levels and reducing the risk of high blood pressure. Vegetables help do the trick, too. You order the Italian hero. This is number 10. A 2020 study of 29,682 participants linked eating 2 servings of red or processed meat per week to a 3-7% increased risk of heart disease. Red meat is high in saturated fat, which can increase your risk of heart attack and stroke, says Allison Harrell, a registered dietitian in Ocoee, Florida. Most of us enjoy an occasional steak, burger, or bratwurst, and that's fine, but just don't make them a daily indulgence. Harrell suggests ordering omega-3 rich salmon or tuna more regularly. Omega-3 fatty acids are unsaturated and may reduce inflammation, blood pressure, and heart disease risk, she says. Number 11, and a side of fries. Oops. A 3-year study of veterans found that those who ate fried foods 1-3 times a week were 7% more likely to have coronary artery disease. The more often participants consumed fried foods, the more their risk rose. Eating these daily was a 14% risk. Fried foods are made in deep fryers that probably use saturated fats, which are terrible for your blood vessels. Swap out the fries or onion rings for a baked potato, or make your own healthier fries in an oven or air fryer. When you fry foods at home, use healthier fats such as olive oil. And finally, number 12, you hit the hay without flossing your teeth. Flossing, brushing, and good oral health are associated with lower levels of gum disease, and studies have suggested a link between gum disease and increased risk of heart disease. It's believed that inflamed gums lead to increased overall inflammation in the body, which damages the heart. Lilia Horowitz, dentist, owner of Brooklyn, New York-based Domino Dental, would ideally like you to brush and floss after every meal. But if that's a bit too much tooth time for you, she advises it's most important to do this before going to bed, so plaque doesn't build up overnight. After eating or drinking, wait 10 minutes for your saliva to buffer before you brush, or that way you don't damage the enamel, she says. If you can't do the full routine after eating, rinsing with water and flossing can help work as well. Now, this article was by Nicole Pager, who writes on health and lifestyle for the New York Times and other publications, and this was in AARP, the magazine. And I do have one more sidebar article connected with this, the heart-brain connection. The same measures that protect your ticker can protect your mind, too. You already know that high blood pressure increases your risk of not only a heart attack, but also a stroke, which can wreak havoc on your brain. Plus, High blood pressure can damage small blood vessels in the brain, hindering your memory and your thinking ability. That's why controlling high blood pressure is so important. Researchers report that when people with this condition take a combination of potassium-sparing diuretics and thiazide diuretics, their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease is significantly reduced. Obviously, cutting sodium intake is job one, according to the Global Council on Brain Health. A 50% reduction in salt cut the risk of a fatal stroke by 85%. But there are plenty of other strategies available to save both your heart and your brain. Drop a few pounds. Losing as few as 2.2 pounds can lower blood pressure. Go a little greener. A higher intake of dietary calcium, especially from plants, helps to regulate blood pressure. The key foods are greens and beans. Options to keep in mind are Swiss chard, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, tofu, hummus, and baked beans. Get more active. Just 30 minutes of daily exercise can lower your blood pressure for the rest of the day. Meanwhile, it's important to see your doctor regularly and to monitor your blood pressure continually. If you're prescribed high blood pressure medicine, take it. The risks to your heart and your brain from uncontrolled blood pressure are simply too high to ignore. Now on to an article from the Essential Retirement Guide. Managing your money, income taxes. Taxes on retirement income. Know how much you'll need to pay before you retire. As a retiree, you'll likely be pulling from several sources of income to get through your post-work years. Be aware that each type of investment account has different taxation rules. For example, withdrawals from brokerage accounts are taxed at capital gains rates. Distributions from traditional IRAs are taxed as ordinary income, while those from Roth IRAs are exempt from taxes. And Social Security has specific rules, too. To accurately plan your retirement, you'll need to know how much you owe Uncle Sam, when you are required to make withdrawals, and the impact that taxes on distributions may have on your goals. Here's a breakdown of the most common sources of retirement income and what you need to know about how they're taxed. Traditional IRA, traditional 401k, and Roth 401k accounts. Your withdrawals from traditional tax-deferred retirement accounts are taxed at your normal income tax rate, which can really throw off your cash flow if you're not prepared. You'll need to start taking required minimum distributions, RMDs, by the time you reach the age of 72. So plan accordingly, using your income tax rate as a guide to estimate how much you'll owe. Roth 401k accounts also require minimum distributions, although you can defer them past the age of 72 if you are still in the workforce. Roth IRAs, these accounts do not have RMDs like traditional IRAs, but you must be over the age of 59 and a half and must have had the account open for at least 5 years before you start pulling your money out in order to avoid early withdrawal penalties. As a general rule of thumb, it's smart to draw from this account last to allow as much time as possible for your tax-free savings to grow. This is especially true if you got a late start on investing. Taxable investments. Profits from the sale of stocks, bonds, and real estate that you hold outside of tax-advantaged retirement accounts are taxed at capital gains rates, which vary depending on how long you've owned the investments. Short-term capital gains apply to investments you've owned less than 1 year and are taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. Long-term investments are subject to capital gains rates based on your tax bracket. Those rates are 0%, 15%, or 20%. Luckily, some or all of the profits from selling your primary residence are exempt from capital gains tax, as long as you've lived in the house for 2 of the 5 years prior to the sale. If you're single, you don't pay capital gains on the first $250,000 you make in profits. If you're married and file jointly, you receive a $500,000 exemption from capital gains taxes. Other investments, such as interest on your savings account and CDs, are taxed at your ordinary income rate. Social Security. Many retirees rely on Social Security benefits, but not everyone is aware that these benefits can be taxed. The tax rate depends on your provisional income, the sum of your adjusted gross income, any tax-free interest from other investments, and 50% of your benefits. Expect to pay taxes if your provisional income exceeds $25,000 on an individual tax return or $32,000 on a joint tax return. Regardless of provisional income, you'll never have to pay taxes on more than 85% of your Social Security benefits. Pensions. Some employees receive a pension as part of their retirement benefits. Assuming you made no after-tax contributions to the plan, payments from private and government pensions are typically taxed at your ordinary income rate. Annuities. Annuities are typically purchased with income that's already been taxed. They then issue payments over time. The portion of the payment representing your principal is tax-free, while you'll pay taxes on any investment growth. Conversely, if you purchase the annuity with pre-tax funds, such as from a traditional IRA, your entire payment will be taxed as ordinary income. And finally, withdrawal order. Considering making withdrawals in this sequence. 1. RMDs from traditional IRA, traditional 401k, and Roth 401k accounts. 2. Taxable accounts. 3. Additional withdrawals from tax-deferred accounts, including your traditional IRA and 401k accounts. Both IRAs, number 4, both IRAs and additional withdrawals from Roth 401k accounts. Making withdrawals in this order allows you to keep your money in tax-exempt accounts the longest, to allow for the greatest returns and even the possibility that you can pass some tax-advantaged assets on to the next generation. Now we're going to move on to some personal best articles, also from AARP, the magazine. All things slow and peaceful. After an injury, Lanier Hamilton changed her pace. When you're a veterinarian, you're always doing something different. I stitch up wounds, look at horse colics, give vaccinations, whatever an animal might need. I used to work as a traveling fill-in for other vets, in addition to my regular practice. Then, in 2009, I broke my neck in a horse riding accident and had to scale back my travel. A lot. I went to physical therapy for 2 years. When the pandemic hit, every vet thought they were going to go out of business. But then the phone started ringing. People were adopting animals like crazy. I hope the pandemic ends soon, but I also hope we learn something from this time. It's okay to take things a little slower instead of always racing around. And if you have an animal to spend your days with, so much the better. Lanier Lanny Hamilton, 65, lives and works in rural Wyoming. Good Influence, How Joan McDonald Got Ripped After Age 70 and Made Over 900,000 Friends in the Process. When my daughter Michelle was home for Christmas in 2016, she told me she was worried about my health. At the time, I was 70 years old and nearly 200 pounds at only 5'3". And on meds for blood pressure, cholesterol, and acid reflux. I had had a knee replacement several years earlier, but I hadn't fully recovered. I could still take only one step at a time on the stairs. My blood pressure was rising, and my doctor was threatening to up my meds. I hated how I was living. Michelle is a personal trainer in Mexico, and she dared me to let her train me long distance. It was strategic. She knows I'm always up for a dare, and I agreed to start training that January. She put me in a group with other women who were learning to lift weights and eat a lot more balanced diet, and it worked. I lost 40 pounds within 6 months. Then Michelle got another idea. She said, I should join Instagram. I'm a little reserved by nature, and she thought it would get me out of my shell. I said, okay. At first, I didn't hear from many people, but as I posted about fitness and continued to lose weight and get stronger, my account accumulated more and more followers. I've got more than 900,000 of them now. I've lost nearly 70 pounds total and become much stronger, healthier, and happier. And I'm off all of my meds. Every day, I interact with people who are inspired by my story of turning my life around. I'm called an influencer now. When I joined the platform, I didn't even know what an influencer was. People sometimes tell me, you're lucky having a daughter who's a coach. That is true, but I did the work. I hear from people all the time who have been able to reduce or get off their meds through diet and exercise, and they don't all have a daughter who's a coach. They just have the discipline to do the work. Joan McDonald, 75, is a retired driver's license examiner who divides her time between Cobourg, Ontario, and Tulum, Mexico. Her Instagram handle is at TrainWithJoan. And for another personal best, this is entitled My Quest, a dive into a painful past. A retired customer engineer, Ken Stewart, hunts for underwater traces of the slave trade. As a kid, I was fascinated by books about the ocean, but it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I decided to become certified as a scuba diver. That's when I first experienced the peacefulness of the ocean. When you're down there, there's a complete sense of freedom. No phones, no noise, just this sense of exploring another world. Well over 1,000 dives later, I found a mission. Documenting shipwrecks of slave trading vessels. A marine archaeologist in Florida's Biscayne National Park asked for my help documenting the wrecks there, and I've gotten others into the hunt. The first time I explored a slave ship was in 2004. It was the Henrietta Marie, which ran aground off the coast in Florida in 1700. I was overwhelmed with emotion. I could feel the souls of the Africans who had been held captive on the ship. I decided to form a nonprofit, Diving with a Purpose, to teach veterans and young divers how to identify and document underwater shipwrecks. For the past 4 years, DWP and the National Park Service have been surveying the southern end of Biscayne National Park and looking for a Spanish slave ship called the Guerrero, which wrecked in 1827 near the Florida Keys. It was a pirate vessel carrying 561 captive Africans. We've identified some objects that seem to be from the correct historical period, and now we're looking for the smoking gun that will tell us it's the Guerrero. The ship's bell, shackles, ivory tusks, gold, or other artifacts. We took a team down in 2018 for a dive, but didn't find that definitive proof. We'll all be going back again. Retiree Ken Stewart, 76, is the founder of the Nashville, Tennessee-based nonprofit organization, Diving with a Purpose. Now, for the rest of our time today, we're going back to the TV shows that changed America. Now we have why we absolutely had to buy cable. The Sopranos, 1999 to 2007. The first mob drama on a par with The Godfather and Goodfellas, with which it shared 27 cast members. The Wire, 2002 to 2008, created by a former reporter and an ex-cop. A nervy, realistic portrait of Baltimore in the grip of a cocaine and heroin epidemic. Mad Men, 2007 to 15. The stylish period piece made Madison Avenue cool again and launched John Hamm and Elizabeth Moss to fame and fortune. Breaking Bad, 2008-13. A Mr. Chips-like schoolteacher dying of cancer becomes a Scarface-like meth lord in a crime thriller with a deep moral inquiry. Game of Thrones, 2011-2019. The fantastically complex fantasy about battling royals whisk us all to another world. Families we loved through the decades. Father Knows Best, 1954-1960. The title said it all, Dad's Rule. Leave It to Beaver, 1957-1963. The first kid's eye view family sitcom inspired by its writers' kids. The Jeffersons, 1975-85, the first long-running hit sitcom about African Americans featuring a strong female lead and TV's first black woman married to a white man. Modern Family, 2009-2020. It was shot as a fake documentary, and its clans mirrored reality, traditional, blended, and same-sex. This Is Us, 2016 to the present, a healing show in a divisive time with six times as many black writers as most shows and such big-name directors as Regina King. Programs that stoked our thirst for competition. Wide World of Sports, 1961-98. We all relished the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Jeopardy, 1964-75, 1978-79, 1984 to the present. The longest-running quiz show beat the competition because, as the late Alex Trebek said, it tends to reward and encourage learning. Monday Night Football, 1970 to the present. At 50, it's a mainstay of primetime sports television. Survivor, 2000 to the present. About unknowns in exotic locales betraying one another for money. It hit a nerve, spurred more reality TV, and spoke volumes about our competitive society. The Bachelor, 2002 to the present. Really, who would watch a show where a guy rejects many sobbing women and proposes to one? Answer, everyone. American Idol, 2002 to the present. TV's number one show for 6 years in a row. This competition delivered Jennifer Hudson, Carrie Underwood, and dozens of hit singles. And finally for today, a must-see miniseries, Roots, 1977. It had TV's biggest black cast ever. Executives feared it would fail, yet it was a smash. It also inspired a genealogy craze, boosted the miniseries genre, and salved national wounds by honoring African American roots. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.